Well, good morning, Crossways. Lovely to be with you again. It's a real joy. Trust you guys have had an amazing week, and that you've been productive. It's been restful, and yeah, if it hasn't, I'm sorry about that. I trust this morning will be just a great time as we unpack God's word again together, and as we really look into His word, look into the truth of His word, the liberty that it brings, and just explore greater depths in the heart of God. So let's pray as we're going this morning. Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful day that you blessed us with. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And Father, thank you that you have specific things that you're wanting to encourage us with this morning. You wanted to speak into our hearts. And so we invite you, precious Holy Spirit, to have your way, to minister to us, that we would be changed today because of hearing you speak into our specific situations and us in our lives in particular. And so we commit every part of today to you, Father. I commit every single person that is at Crossways Church. I commit every person that would hear this message. I thank you for every family. I thank you for every marriage, God, every child. I thank you again, pray a blessing upon businesses, Father, and upon everything that we put our hands to. And I thank you, Lord, for we know we're living in unique times on the earth, but we thank you that we serve you, God, and you are an unchanging God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change. And so thank you that we can build our lives upon the rock of our salvation, that is Jesus Christ. And so we look to you today and we say be glorified in our lives and through our lives. And I pray these things in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. All right. So we've had a series that we've been going through over the last couple of weeks called A Great Awakening. And today I'm going to share really a third part of that message, and I'll bring it in, today. And really it's an ongoing discussion, really. But over the last couple of weeks, we've been sharing about how God's got a plan to display His manifold, multifaceted, multi-layered wisdom, grace through the church on the earth at this time. And then He's called us in so many different ways. God is just so creative, and not one of us are the same. We've got different gifts, different abilities. And God is looking to see His church arise. Not the, we've spoken about it a number of times, not the organizational church so much, but His church, His people, His individual people, His body on the earth, rising up, knowing who they are in Him, and really just living in the fullness of the Spirit wherever it is that God's assigned us to be. For some that's going to be behind a pulpit, for some that's going to be in the marketplace, for some it's going to be in the political arena. There's stay-at-home mums. There's what a role the stay-at-home mums play. A lot easier sometimes to leave the home and go off to an office somewhere. Just an incredible role that mothers play in raising the next generation. And so, Father, whatever it is that you call us into, whatever assignment you have on our lives, thank you that we would be faithful to see it fulfilled in a way that would glorify your name, see your kingdom extended on the earth. And so, exciting days that we're living in. That we, I unpacked last week and shared, about what did we go into last week? we looked at, Matthew, the passage out of Matthew, where Jesus is on the mountainside with His disciples, and He's asking the disciples who they the people were saying that He was, and He really made the personal. And that was when Peter, said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And just really, I spoke into the fact that God is calling us into that full inheritance as sons in the kingdom of God, and that all of creation is groaning, longing for the manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed. And so, we have creation around us that is hurting and groaning and longing for the mature sons and daughters of God to be made known and to really be living and alive on the earth. And so that's the time we're in. Also did mention last week that if we are still immature in our thinking around these things, then even though we're the owner of everything and God calls us the possessor of heaven and earth, if we're immature in our thinking and we don't know what he's given us, then it's as though we are still slaves, even though we are not slaves. We're sons and we own everything. But if we still have a mindset that is immature and you're not developed in the promises and the purposes of God, and even though we're the owner of everything, it's as though we're like a slave. And so, yeah, none of us want to be in the kingdom of sons, but living like slaves. And so we want to realize the full inheritance of our sonship. I think for all of us who are parents, you know, there's no greater desire that we have other than to see our children fulfill their potential. And if you see your kids, you know, not fulfilling their potential, or, you know, cruising in areas or not taking certain things seriously, yeah, I mean, as a parent, you know, obviously there's a fine line, but you're just wanting to see your kids fulfill the purpose in their lives, their potential. And, you know, God is, he's a jealous God and he's a good father, and he's wanting us to know him and to fulfill every part of the potential that he's placed upon our lives. And so today, as we continue to minister, I wanted to share a word around what it is. It's the third part of the series, Great Awakening. But the actual word itself refers to us getting back to the source. And, you know, amazing thing, but, you know, in terms of us getting back to the source of things, you know, it speaks about in the scriptures that you and I were created by God, we were created for God, and we were created through God, and that in him everything consists. So he's the author, he's the finisher of our faith, he's the one who's created us, you know, and he's the one who's designed our lives. And so in order to really understand how it works, we've got to always get back to the source and to find out what it is that he says. You know, if we listen to other voices, we listen to other people, you know, we're going to get pretty confused, and it's going to get quite confusing quite quickly. I know certainly God's been speaking to my heart, and, you know, John the Baptist, before Jesus came onto the earth, it speaks about that he was like a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And it's like God is raising up a voice on the earth prior to the second coming of Christ that is also going out with real clarity of people who know their God. But, you know, it's one thing to you know, have a whole lot of communicators and a whole lot of noise, but it's another thing to become a voice. And to become a voice, we've really got to hear his voice, the voice. And, you know, once we hear the voice, his voice resounds within our hearts, and we become really an echo, so to speak, of his voice on the earth through the different unique ways that he's created each one of us to be. And that's why no one of us is ever going to be similar, you know, the same as somebody else. And I want to say, encourage you, you know, be distinctive, be unique. You know, God's created you to be unique and to be distinctive. Don't try and be a copy of anybody else. You know, God, you know, I always remember God speaking to my heart, and, you know, where, you know, Adam, when Adam and Eve had taken of that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, and God was now looking for them in the garden and saying, you know, where are you? And and obviously they were hiding from God, and then when God found out where they were, he's, you know, obviously asked the question, you know, where are you? And I really felt God just in the direction of that question, where are you? That sort of key thing that was coming, where is the unique person that I've created you to be? Where are you? And God is crying out to each one of us. You know, he's created us uniquely, distinctly. There's such color and flavor and potential in our lives. And he's saying, where are you? Where is that unique, distinctive vessel that I've created to, you know, on the earth that I need right here at this end time harvest. There's God's multifaceted grace is going to be displayed through his bride at this time. So where are you? Where is that distinct, unique individual? Where are you? Don't try and be a carbon copy of anybody else. You know, be the original. Really, people are looking for the original. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for, they're not looking for somebody who's just saying what somebody else says. Let there be a unique tone that is coming from your life. Let there be a unique ring through your life. Make sure that it's authentic. Make sure that it's flowing out of a place of you connecting with your source, who is God. Because if you and I are not connecting with our source, then, you know, sometimes we try to be distinctive or try to be unique in our own strength or according to our own understanding, and it sort of falls flat. But people are looking really for Christ in us, and that's the authenticity of Christ in us displayed through just the different ways that God has wired us as human beings. And yeah, then there's this beautiful sound that starts to play. It's like an orchestra. Hey, I mean, an orchestra when it's working well, it sounds lovely. But have you heard an orchestra when it's sort of strumming up or you know, tuning up at the beginning? It can be an awful mess, and you got all the, you know, the violin and if you remember my kids when they started to play the violin at home, you know, violin was one of the instruments they did at school, and our one daughter carried on with it. But hey, there was some pretty you know, rough sounds that were coming out of that violin in those early days. And you know, an orchestra sort of tuning up, you know, sounding pretty all over the place, pretty chaotic. There's some bad sounds. But then suddenly, you know, that conductor, you know, allows everyone to, and he brings it together. There's the beautiful, unique sounds that are coming out. You've got this symphony of sound and of music that is powerful. That starts to unfold, and really, that is what God is going to be doing through our lives. So, in terms of getting back to the source, so I was up in the Berg. I remember taking some time just to go up by myself early in 2019, went to go and spend like a week on my own. And it's quite a thing when you go and spend, you know, like a week on your own. Took me about half a day to sort of get used to my own company again and realize, okay, it's going to be a full week without my wife. I'm going to have to really sharpen up on my cooking skills and do all that sort of thing. But so there I was up in the Berg for a week, and God used the analogy of a river to speak to me and into my heart, this whole analogy around a river. And, you know, I was up in the mountains, up in the Berg. And so you had this, you know, picture of this river that was flowing from the high places, from the mountains, and then was starting its journey coming down from the Berg and then, you know, on its way to the sea. And as God started to just show me this picture of the river, you know, speaks about in the book of Revelation that there's the river that flows from the throne of grace, and it speaks about the fact that river is as clear as crystal, and you know, for you and I that are looking for that purity of the source, you know, the clarity that comes, you know, from being at the source, you know, we've got to be prepared to come up higher to where God is. In other words, so often, you know, our perspective has been shaped by the things around us, the things in the world, the things that we're seeing. And it takes some courage for us to go back to the source to find out, okay, what is it that God's actually saying about this? What is his heart? What is his word say? And, you know, it's only really when we have the courage to journey back to that source that clarity starts to come again. And I remember I was out there again and spending some time, and I remember taking a walk the one day, and as I was walking, I saw that there was, again, the closest cottage was, I don't know, maybe a K and a half, 2 Ks from where I was staying. And I took a walk, and about 3 Ks from where I was staying, it looked like there was a guy who was in the garden in one of the cottages. So I really felt just God laid on my heart just to go and, you know, have a chat with the guy. So anyway, I went around the side and came to the gate, the driveway into this cottage. And hey, I walked past the gate and I walked down the road, and I was sort of saying, okay, God, this is a bit odd. You know what? If you want me to go and speak to this guy, then just lay it specifically. You know, lay something on my heart. Lay it specifically on my heart. You know, give me a specific word or a specific message so that it, you know, he really knows that it's you that sent me to him today. And I really just felt God lay on my heart. He just said to me, don't worry about what you need to say. Just go and step into that situation and I'll give you the words that you need at that time. So anyway, you know, I try to bargain with God maybe for another few seconds, but you never win when you try and bargain with God. And so I walk back to the gate. And anyway, so now I see that it's actually a couple. There's a guy and a girl and they're sitting on the veranda outside this cottage. So I sort of call over the gate. Good morning. Lovely morning, isn't it? Just wanted to say hi. And you know, you're sounding a little odd. And anyway, they graciously came out to the gate. And when they came out, I just approached them and said, look, you know, you might think this is really strange. Was heading down the road and just really had you guys on my heart. And just wanted to pop in and say hello. And yeah, is there anything that I can pray for you about? And it was amazing because, you know, they actually then just started to share their hearts. And anyway, they climbed a mountain the day before, the rhino in that area of the Berg, and that had a whole sort of an encounter there that was quite sort of different and quite, you know, just for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but they'd had a pretty hair-raising sort of experience the day before. And on their way down from the climb, they were really, and this couple was not a couple that walked with God. They're very sort of like a new age couple. And they were saying, God, if you're real and if you're out there, why don't you make yourself known to us, you know? And it was just an amazing thing because there, you know, there the next day I was simply available, was able to step into their situation and yeah, I just was able to pray with them. I was able to share a little bit of the heart of God and I don't know where it went to from there for them. I haven't heard back from them. I gave them my contact details. I didn't take theirs and haven't had a message yet, but yeah, it, you know, I always know that, you know, if it's done in the right heart and seed is sown, that God is always going to honor that seed and honor that word that's gone out of their hearts. And so, yeah, but the key thing was in this time away and in the Berg and spending that time was God speaking again about just getting back to the source. And, you know, at that place of being at the source, God starts to reveal just his heart. His heart is for people, you know. I think so often we get caught up and there's the busyness and there's programs and there's so much on the go and God has one treasure and that treasure is his people. And he's wanting us to be available to reach people with his heart. And, you know, at the end of the day, people don't really care how much, they don't really care how much we know until they know how much we care. And when they know how much we care, because it's not us, but it's Christ in us, loves people. So people are going to, their hearts are going to be open to the goodness of God. And I want to say, encourage you, you know, there's, you know, it speaks about in the book of Romans chapter 14, verse 17, that the three things that God gives to us is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul writes in Romans. He says, the kingdom of God is all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And, it's an amazing thing, you know, but that righteousness is not ours. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's his righteousness that gets given to us. But it's so important that we live in a way where the Holy Spirit's continuing to reveal to us that we are the righteousness of God. You know, if the enemy in any way can come in and bring condemnation and accusation and get us to feel that we're not righteous or we're living in a place where, you know, where we're feeling alienated in any way from the heart of God, then then, you know, the enemy can come with all sorts of lies and accusations and keep us in a very intimidated, very weak place. And as I shared with you guys last week, you know, God is really, there's a baptism of boldness that's coming upon the church. And in order to be bold and in order to be living on the front foot and not on the back foot, we're gonna have to be those that know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 14, it actually says that God has cleansed our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God. And really, that's the place God's wanting to bring us into, where we're in a place where we're actually able to serve the living God with our full lives, and expressing our uniqueness in the purpose and the call that God has on each one of our lives. And that righteousness, you know, and then peace. And it's an amazing thing, hey, but when the Holy Spirit gives us righteousness, he gives us a knowledge of the peace of God. And it's the peace of God that transcends all human understanding. I mean, without peace, we really, really are going to be in a lot of trouble, eh? Because we live in a world where there's so much tribulation, so much trial, but it's God's peace that settles us. It gives us his peace. And, when Jesus left the earth, he said to his disciples before going, he said, you know, in this world, you're going to have trouble. He says, take heart. I've overcome the world, and it's my peace that I leave with you. And so it's the peace of God that transcends all human understanding, where we can be in the middle of a storm and we're at peace. And a lot of the time, that's where people are going to be asking us, because, you know, people are struggling and they're going to be saying, well, what's different for you? And it's not that we've got our head in the sand and we don't know what's happening around us, but it's just that there's a supernatural peace. You know, when you're walking with God, yes, there may be trials and there may be things happening around us, but we've built our lives on a solid foundation. We built our lives upon the rock. And so we are peaceful. We know at the end of the day, we win because Christ has won. The battle is his. The victory is ours. And he's coming back to get us. And so there's a wonderful peace that we walk in. And then the joy of the Lord. So righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Without joy, we sort of just trying to survive and get through. It's the joy of the Lord that causes us to wake up with a spring in our step and have hope for tomorrow and hope for the future. It's the joy of the Lord that causes us to laugh at adversity, that causes us to see the, you know, the silver lining on the cloud. Joy is not happiness. Happiness depends on our circumstances and what's happening around us, whereas joy is found in the presence of God and is there no matter what situation we're in. Doesn't matter what is going on around us. It's the joy of the Lord that really is our strength. And so I want to encourage you, as we get back to the source, who is God, and his righteousness and his peace and his joy flows, I want to encourage you. He's the one who's going to lead us into all the truth. You know, so it's so easy to get caught up with, again, all that noise and everything that's happening around us. And, you know, a lot of the time we can be deceived into getting into battles and things that God's not calling us to get involved in. You know, the battle that we are fighting is never against flesh and blood. It is always principalities and powers. And so, you know, I want to say encourage you. I don't know what, maybe you're facing some situations with people around you, because all the tough things that we face in life typically have got to do with people and those around us, because you know, we are relational. We're made for relationship. And so we're called to take dominion and over the earth, but in a relational way. But, you know, when we get it wrong relationally, then what starts to happen is we start to dominate one another instead of together in unity, taking dominion over the earth. And it's a sad thing when you see that happen in marriages, and where God's put a team together and a husband and a wife, such a powerful unit. But unless there's a unity in the marriage relationship, what starts to happen is a little bit of a domination and a power struggle starts to happen within the marriage. And at the end of the day, you know, when that starts happening, that, you know, the marriage just becomes its own little sort of like soap opera drama. And then that married couple is really ineffectual to being able to really change and influence the lives of people around them. And so, yeah, God again just wants to get us back to the source, realize that our Our battle is never flesh and blood. Our battle is always, you know, principalities and powers. And just getting back to that marriage analogy, I want to say encourage you. I don't know, just while the Holy Spirit's led me to just share a couple of thoughts on that this morning. But, you know, one of the things we can be very, very sure about is that you can never try and change your spouse. You can only change yourself. And as you do that, you'll see the change start to take place in your spouse. And, you know, it's an amazing thing, you know, how we can often fall in love with somebody that is so different from us. And then it's those very differences that can start to irritate us. It can start to get on our nerves. And then we, without us knowing it, we sort of trying to change our spouse to think like we think. But, you know, the whole reason that God's put us together is because we do think differently. And so that's such a powerful thing. So really shift the way, allow God to shift your heart and to change you. Because you can only really change yourself or allow yourself to be changed. You can't change somebody else and make them like what you like or be different to who they are. You know, just allow God to work in your heart, and you'll start to again experience the wonder of this gift of this of your spouse that He's given you. And yeah, you know, I'm more in love with my wife Francine today than I am when we first got married, and that's not because I'm great. We've had to walk through many things, as all of us do, but it's simply because I've just yielded to God, allowed Him to continue to work in my heart. And as He's done that, I've just seen more and more and more of the wonder of the gift that my wife is. And I haven't tried to work out my wife, because marriage is a mystery, and our wives are mysterious, and as I'm sure, ladies, you find us men are. But what a joy to have the gift of a spouse that you can enjoy and increasingly enjoy through the marriage journey. And so I wanted to, just again, encourage you guys, you know, just be yielded to the Holy Spirit in these days. You know, it's the whole relationship between Jesus and the church. It refers to the church as His bride. So maybe that was where I was going with the whole marriage analogy today, and a little bit as I've been led. But you know, Jesus is coming back for His bride, and He is intimate with His bride. And so, you know, again, those three things that were taken and stolen in the Garden of Eden, what mankind lost was intimacy with God, the purpose for which God had created our lives, and then the provision to fulfill that purpose. And instead of chasing it the wrong way around, of chasing provision, not worrying about purpose, and then intimacy with God as the last thing, let's chase the heart of God, intimacy with God, out of that place, purpose flowing. And out of the place of purpose, God, as a good Father, has already provided for us everything that we will ever need to fulfill His plan, His purpose, and His mandate upon our lives. So I want to say, encourage you, let's get back to that source. Take a journey back to the source of that river. You know, it's a dead fish can go with the current and can just go downstream, but it takes a live fish to swim against the current and to go upstream, to go back to the source, to go and find, you know, that purity of source, everything that's flowing from the heart of God, from the throne of God, at the source. God has said to us right in the beginning, you know, mandate over our lives in the book of Genesis, out of the, you know, when God created mankind, was to be fruitful and to multiply on the earth, to take dominion over the earth. We are meant to be going into every place, and we're meant to be replicating and reproducing the Garden of Eden in every place. And so I want to encourage you, every place that the sole of your foot treads, God's given you that territory. But again, unless we know God, unless we're walking with Him, and unless we are now aware of our righteousness, aware and walking in His peace, full of His joy, then, you know, then we're going to be a people that are continually on the back foot. God wants to get us onto the front foot. He wants to get us involved in the lives of people. He wants us to meet people where they're at, day in, day out, getting involved in their situations as He leads us. and just really bringing his perspective, his heart at this time. So I want to so encourage you that, you know, God has incredible things that he's planned for you at this time. He's wanting to open up the eyes of your heart to see the plan and the purpose and the inheritance that he has for you. He's wanting you to be fully aware of your identity in him. Because when that identity is secure and you're aware of who he's created you to be, again, that revelation leads to a revolution. And you want to throw over the status quo and overturn everything that is not representing the heart of God on the earth. And so, yeah, thanks again for just this time we've been able to have just to unpack God's word a little bit. And you know, I so look forward to continue to stay in contact with Crossways Church and the beautiful people that are part of the team and part of the body. Whether I know you or don't know you, thank you for listening today. Thank you for opening up your hearts to receive the word. And I pray that as you allow the Holy Spirit to continue to minister to you, that there are going to be great, great things that he's got for you in this season. I believe it's a season of breakthrough for you, that the dreams and desires that God has placed on your heart, he's wanting you to break through into those. God is not a God where he, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. God's not wanting us to live with deferred hope so that it's, God's wanting to actually bring us into the manifestation of his promises, the manifestation of his goodness. And so there's breakthrough that he wants to bring you into. And so I want to encourage you to, you know, maybe you've been hanging on for a while and you've got tired. I want to encourage you that just allow the Holy Spirit to bring a refreshing. When you get back to the source, let me tell you, there's a refreshing. That water's clear. It's crystal clear. And as you drink of that clean, fresh, pure water, there's going to be such a refreshing in your soul and such an awakening in your spirit. And it's going to cause everything that you touch to be awakened. You know, that Ezekiel 47 river, wherever that river goes, there's going to be life that springs up around it. So God's going to use your life to revive many. So I'm going to pray for us now as we close out. Father, thank you again for just speaking to us all today. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we welcome you into every situation in our lives, every part of our lives. Won't you just continue to reveal to us the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth of who Jesus Christ is and the plan and the purpose that he has won for each one of us. We thank you, Father, that you're a good Father, that you are so near to us, and that you are for us and not against us. And I pray such a refreshing, Lord, for us all at this time. I thank you that you would continue to speak to us, Holy Spirit, and lead us into all the truth. And so I thank you for these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thanks so much. God bless you guys. And we'll stay in contact and look forward to connecting in the future. Cheers for now.